Russ and I got married in 2017, and we moved to this area. We were just looking for a new church, and Decatur City just welcomed us with open arms, and we just felt so included, and that's why we decided to make it our home.
Decatur City is a place where you are going to feel welcome.
Just knowing that everybody's welcome, and what we focus on mainly is the love of Christ, and not on what people have done, but what people can become.
It's more than just a face. It's more than just what you see on Sunday mornings. It's like you could actually live life with these people.
One of the things I was just determined to do was to find a church that my children would enjoy going to. I think it's important to place your kids in an environment where they love to worship God, and I am glad that I found that here.
This church brings life, and I feel like we want to be a part of that more than anything.
I look forward to the weekends because I get to come here and be a part of something.
I honestly have to say I just love the environment. I love the energy. I love what people like to bring to the table. Everybody is so helpful and so kind.
We can have debates about things. We can talk about life topics. Like, we live in this world. We're like Christians in a world, you know, rather than Christians in our own world.
I literally lost my home and all of my belongings this past year. When I am here or with people from here, that's home.
My name is Matthew Clam.
My name is Alexis.
Cassandra.
I'm Matt.
My name is Luke.
I'm John McDaniel.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Kendall Patterson.
I'm Russ Patterson. And we found a home here at Decatur City Church.
Man, yeah, go ahead. That's incredible. It is so remarkable to hear people talk about our church like that. And it's not just people who have been here like the whole time or for a really long time. I mean, I hear people talk about that have really just experienced you guys and just experienced this community once or twice. And in fact, this past week, Laurie and I, every time we were out, I mean, it happened every single day, we ran into somebody who had something incredible or remarkable to say about this place. And I hope that never gets old to us. I hope we don't ever run by that, because it's certainly not normal, and it's really remarkable considering it's not the way I normally hear people in our community talk about church. When I hear people in our community talk about church, it's a far different story, usually, which kind of leads me to a confession I feel like I need to make. I'm just getting to know several of you, and so I feel like you should know this about me. I don't really like meeting new people. It's kind of an occupational hazard, I get it. But like, not you guys. Everybody's just like, well, great, we're leaving this church. Not you guys. Like, I love to get to know you guys. You guys are remarkable. I love it when you stop me in the halls and you tell me your story. You tell me how you got to be a part of this church, or when you come up to me in the stores or while I'm with my kids at school. Like, I hope you never, ever stop doing that. That is one of my favorite things. In fact, when I dream or think about this church, one of the things that I dream is that this place could be one of the easiest places on the east side of Atlanta for people to connect to relationally. So I don't want that to stop. I love that. But don't take this the wrong way. You guys are like easy to connect with because you know me and you know what I do. But like, when I meet people for the first time, I mean, what's the most basic, obvious question anybody asks when they're meeting somebody for the first time? What do you do? And it gets really awkward really quick when people ask me, what do I do? Because all of a sudden, they start telling me every reason why they don't like the church, every reason they don't go to church, every reason why I shouldn't go to church. And the whole time, I'm thinking, I didn't ask. Like, you brought it up. Why are you talking about something you don't like? Can I just get a haircut? Like, can we go back to that? Like, can I just be a normal person for a second? But what's interesting to me about all of these kind of encounters is that I don't really remember anybody giving me, and I'm sure it's happened, but like, I don't really remember it. I don't remember anybody giving me like a really great theological reason why they don't go to church. Like, in other words, I don't hear a lot of, well, I don't believe, or I don't believe in Jesus, or I don't believe in God, or like, I don't believe, which is kind of crazy because there's a lot of people who don't believe, right? And I mean, I would expect that to be the number one answer you get. In fact, that seems like the perfect reason not to go to church, is because you don't believe. But instead, I get all these practical reasons. I get a lot of this, like, well, you know, I don't know. I get a lot of like, I used to, or well, I grew up doing that, but I kind of grew out of it. I didn't know you could grow out of it, but they're like, I kind of grew out of it, or like, it's just not for me, or I just don't feel comfortable there. And like, it just, all the reasons seem to be practical, and they kind of fall in this category of people telling me like, hey, I don't really seem to have a problem with God that much, but like the church, like, I don't know, I don't like the church. Like, in fact, God is probably okay, and I'd love to know that I could have a connection with God. And I hear people talk about God as if he was like a father that you could know, and that a father that cared about you. And that sounds remarkable, and that sounds really incredible. And I would love to know that he cared about me, or that he had something to say about my life, or that he could help me with these habits that I wish I didn't have, or that he could somehow tell me something meaningful about my work. But like, I show up at church, and I just get real uncomfortable, you know, because like at home, I feel at home, like I feel comfortable. And when I'm at work, like I feel comfortable. But when I show up at church, I'm like, ew, these people are weird. Like they're not my people. And I just kind of feel uncomfortable. And it seems like there's this idea out there that like the church is for church people. I mean, like golf is for golfers, right? And like hunting is for hunters, and fishing is for, I guess, fishers is what we call them. Like, it's just like that's, you know, but church, like, that's for church people. But here's the problem with that. When I read the New Testament, or I read, like, the stories of Jesus, nothing could be further from the truth. And it seems like the church has just kind of messed this whole thing up. Like, in fact, if anybody is sitting right out here on this corner about to turn right on Claremont Road, and they're looking up at this building and they're going, wow, like they painted it. And like, there's a new sign, and man, there's like shuttles running back and forth. And man, there's a lot of people and a lot of cars in the parking lot. Like, go church people. Like, look at them. Like, the church people are just doing something right there. Like, if anybody's thinking that, then we have really messed up. And we have done a terrible, terrible job of communicating what the church is and who the church is for in our community. Because the church isn't for church people any more than Jesus simply came for church people. And in fact, when I think about this problem, I think about it in terms of like a ladder, like this one. It's like people show up at the church and all the rungs are missing off the bottom of the ladder. And people walk into churches and they look up and they're like, oh, look, all the church people. And like, they're so cool. And they're like gathered together. And it's really like remarkable. It's incredible. And they have, you know, peace like a river. And they seem so happy. And look at them. Like, I wish I could get up there. But I show up at church and it's like, I don't know how to get there. And it would be awesome to feel like I was connected to God like that. It would be awesome for my kids to have those kind of opportunities, and it would be fantastic to hang out at a place where people had the same values as I did. But I show up at church, and I just think, well, clearly, church is for church people. Church is for people who figured out how to get to the top of the ladder. And so it was this problem that honestly drove us to start this church. We looked around and we just decided, you know, there are way too many churches where the rungs are missing off the ladder. There's just way too many churches in our community where people walk in and they think, this would be great, but I can't get there. This would be fantastic, but I clearly don't belong, or I don't fit there. Like, it would be awesome to have a connection with God. It would be fantastic to know God had something meaningful to say to me. It would be so fantastic to know that there really was a heavenly father who cared about me. But I show up to church, I show up at the place where I expect to find that, and I realize, like, it's not for me. I don't fit. I don't belong. I can't get there from where I am. So 8 years ago, we launched Decatur City Church. And then last week, we relaunched in our first ever non-portable location. And from the very beginning, it's really been our desire to solve that problem and to fix that. But if you're going to hang out with us, you got to know, like, we feel like we're fighting an uphill battle. We feel like this is a problem that's never, ever, ever going to go away, because it's a problem that first showed up right after Jesus died. In fact, as you're about to see as we open our New Testaments together, this has been a problem since the moment Jesus left. And there's this problem that seems to kind of get in and creep into the church that all of us have. It's this desire to overcomplicate the God thing. In fact, we overcomplicate the God thing to the point that we unnecessarily communicate that the church really isn't for everybody and that maybe, just maybe, God isn't for everybody. And so this morning, we're going to look at a story that comes to us from the New Testament. It's found in our book that we call Acts. And if you're a brand new Christian, if you're not familiar with church or the Bible, the book of Acts is a fantastic place to start reading. Because it's really just it's a book of history. It tells you and it tells me how this movement that we call the local church came to be. I mean, basically, if you've ever wondered, like, how did all these churches show up? It goes all the way back to this book. And the book of Acts picks up right after Jesus died. And what you need to know is at this moment, literally everybody is Jewish and they're just tacking on Christianity to their Jewish faith. And so basically, in order to be a follower of Jesus, you had to first become a Jew, you had to take on all those traditions, and then you tagged on faith or belief on top of that. And it was a great system for the Jews. I mean, it was awesome if you were Jewish, but if you decided to come to faith in God, and if you decided to put your trust in Jesus, all of a sudden, it got really complicated because you had to adopt a whole nother religion first. Well, at the same time, there's this guy named Paul. And Paul has basically gotten outside of Jerusalem, which was the central hub of the church, and Paul is going town to town to town, and he's preaching in all of these towns where most of the people are not Jewish. And people are flocking to his message because it's a simple message. His message is just simply, hey, there was a guy. He claimed to be the Son of God. He lived, he died, he was crucified, he was buried, and he got up out of the grave. And if you believe in him, he'll give you a new life and you can have the connection with your Heavenly Father that you've always been looking for. And all you have to do is believe. It's that simple. Well, as you can imagine, people were flocking to that message. That message sounded incredible. Well, word trickles back to Jerusalem, which is kind of the headquarters of the church. And they're like, whoa, 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 hold up. It ain't that easy. Like, we had to follow all these laws first. They have to follow all these laws too. And suddenly there's this crisis. And the church has a major problem because now the church is faced with this decision of who is the church for and what does it really take to be a follower of God. And so the church sends this contingency of people down to confront Paul and some of his other friends who are preaching and to confront these new believers. And we're going to pick up right there at the start of this story because this is a significant crisis in the life of the church. And it starts in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And it tells us this, it says, certain people came down from Judea, that's Jerusalem, they came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers. Hey guys, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you can't be saved. Like you have to have a surgery to have a relationship with God. That's the only way. Like you're gonna have to go through a surgical procedure if you wanna actually have a relationship with God. Well, this brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with these guys. And they're saying, wait a minute, hold on. Jesus didn't say anything about that. That's not how this thing is supposed to go. Whoa, whoa, hold on. It can't be like that. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed by the church there at Antioch, along with some other believers, to go back to Jerusalem to see the apostles about this question. Now, basically, what you need to understand is that the apostles were the original, like, 11 guys that hung out with Jesus. And so they walked with him, they talked with him, they ate with him, they knew the most about him. And so anytime there was a problem in the early church, all the problems got sent up the ladder to them. And if it was a theological problem, a practical problem, they would decide, and they were the ones who were really launching this movement that we know of as the church. So these believers at Antioch are going, okay, let's send this up to the big guys, let's let them make this decision. So Paul and Barnabas head back, and when they came to Jerusalem, they reported everything that God had done through them. I mean, they're telling them, hey guys, this is unbelievable. People are coming to faith in Jesus by record numbers. This is incredible. And they're reporting everything that God had done through them. Well, then in the middle of the meeting, some of the believers stood up and said, hey, that's great, but the Gentiles must be circumcised and they have to be required to keep the law of Moses. Again, it's awesome that they want to follow our God. It's incredible that they want to be part of the club, but like, come on, they have to follow the law first. Well, this discussion goes on and on and on. And after much discussion, Peter. Now, this is Peter, probably the most famous follower of Jesus. If you've read the New Testament, this is Peter who walked on the water with Jesus. This is Peter who watched Jesus do some unbelievable things. And I mean, he had so much fame at this point, and people respected him so much. So Peter stands up and he addressed them. And he said, "Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and they might believe." Now, something pretty significant had happened in Peter's life, and this is what he's referencing. Basically, what you need to know is Peter grew up just like a Jew's Jew. I mean, he was not going to eat certain things, he was not going to drink certain things, and he was definitely not going to hang out with people who were non-Jewish. And Peter had become pretty convinced that the gospel, that Jesus, was really only for the Jews, and so he was keeping people out. Well, God showed up to Peter in a pretty dramatic way. And he convinced Peter that the gospel was in fact for everybody and that Peter was wrong and that God cared more about people than he did about his traditions and than he certainly did about the law. And he convinced Peter that he should go out and take the gospel to everybody. Well, it was such a big deal. Everybody in the crowd knew about this moment because Peter had made a pretty big shift and was all of a sudden he himself was taking the message to people other than Jews. And so he continues. He says, "Hey guys, God, who knows your heart, he knows my heart, he knows the heart. God has showed us that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. God did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith." God did not discriminate between us and them. There are no more Jews, there's no more Gentiles, there's no more haves, there's no more have-nots, there's no more insiders or outsiders. God, guys, there's just people. And in God's economy, there's just people, and we're making it unnecessarily difficult. So why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? In other words, guys, we're no good at keeping the law. There's like 600 commandments, and between us, we can't even name them all. And I mean, we mess up all the time, and like we're constantly tripping over the law, and we're constantly getting it wrong. So why in the world, if we can't get it right, why in the world would we try to put that yoke or that burden on people who didn't grow up like we did? No, he said, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, that we have a connection with God just as they do. And then Peter sits down and the room is quiet. And maybe right over here, kind of on the side, a figure stands up and it's James. It's the brother of Jesus. The one person in the room who had spent more time with Jesus than anybody else. The one person who had known Jesus his entire life, who had seen the good and the bad and the ugly, who had heard everything Jesus had ever said and in his adult life came to faith in Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus, stood up and he said something so profound that it would forever change the trajectory of the church and it should forever shape how we do church and what it means to be a part of the church. And for you to fully kind of get how big of a deal this statement is, you need to know a little bit of my story. You see, when I grew up, God was okay. Like when I grew up, God was fine, and I would have loved to have had a connection with God, and that seemed really great. But every time I showed up at church, church felt like this to me. And I showed up at church, and I just had this idea that church was for church people, and I wasn't a church person, so maybe God wasn't for me. And then James said this, and I read these words, and it literally is probably some of the most impactful things I've ever read. And then a few years ago, I heard our senior pastor, Andy Stanley, teach on this, and I thought, man, I want to give my life to that. I want to make sure that that is something I stay focused on forever. James, the brother of Jesus, stands up. He goes, "Guys, it's my judgment. It is my judgment that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Guys, look around. Guys, don't you see it? It's happening. Did you hear what Paul said? Like, people are coming to faith in God. What Jesus said would happen is happening. Guys, do you see it? Jesus said, I'm the truth, and people were coming to him wanting to know the truth. And he said, I'm the life, and people are turning to God, and they're finding life. And he said, I'm the way, and people are following. And they're becoming a part of this movement that we call the way. And guys, it's happening. And guys, I'm afraid we're in the way of it. We're making it unnecessarily difficult. Why are we doing that? Let's get out of the way and let's just watch God work. And Peter stands back up And he stands next to James, and they said, you know what, we're gonna do this different. That's not what the church is all about. We're not going to make it difficult for people to turn to God. No, no, we're going to do something drastic. We're going to make it easy for people to connect with their Heavenly Father. So instead, we should write back to them. Let's write back to them and let's tell them simply to abstain from food that's been polluted by idols. Let's write back to them and tell them to abstain from sexual immorality and from the meat of strangled animals and from blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. Now, you and I read that, and that sounds far from simple, right? I mean, we're like, what is he talking about? There's like strangled animals in there and idols, and it doesn't make sense. But basically to them, this was like a breath of fresh air. Because what James is doing is he's saying, hey, listen, there are followers of Jesus, and there are traditional Jews, and they're starting to mingle in synagogues. And they're starting to get together more than ever, but the law of Moses has been consistently preached, and so the law of Moses is going to be kind of a stumbling block, and we got to figure out how to solve this problem so that when these two groups start to mingle, that there's not a problem. So let's do this. Let's take the law, let's take like all 600 commandments of the law, and let's shrink it down to basically two things. And let's write them, and let's tell them, hey, listen, we can be a little sensitive. So could you be sensitive to our Jewish sensitivities? Well, like, could you just kind of go out of your way to look out for us? And then two, could you just avoid sexual immorality? Because like, that's kind of a big deal anyways, and it would be good for you. Like, so just be sensitive to us, and then just be sexually pure, and then everything would be okay. That's all. You don't have to get circumcised. You don't have to have a surgery. You don't even have to know what the rest of the law is. That is all you have to do. And so the men were sent back off, and they went back down to Antioch, where the church gathered together, and they delivered the letter. And the people read it, and they were glad for its encouraging message. Now try to imagine this if you can. Like, these new believers who were like new to faith and new to following God and were still trying to figure it all out. I mean, they had been waiting. Maybe days, maybe weeks, they had been waiting for word to come back. And they knew when word came back, it was coming from the church in Jerusalem, and it was going to be a big deal, and they were going to have to follow it. And so imagine the anticipation as they began to see these messengers coming towards them, and they finally get the scroll, and they unroll it, and they all gather together, and they start to read what it says, and they see Peter's name first. And then they see James's name, and they realize, like, Peter and James have signed this thing. Like, Paul did it. Paul got our message all the way to the top, and like the big guys have read it, and whatever we're about to read, like this is it. This is going to determine our history and our relationship with God. And they begin to read, and they begin to understand we don't have to become Jewish to be a Christian. We can just believe. Like, we don't have to have a surgery. We don't have to obey the law. We don't have to do anything other than simply put our trust and our hope and our faith in. We can believe, and it is simple, and it is easy, and it is refreshing. But then, like, fast forward like 100 years, 200 years, 300, 400, and we've just complicated it. We messed it all up, and some of the worst things in human history were done in the name of the church, and it was done to keep people in and to keep people out, and we ostracized people, and we beat people, and we abused people, and we made sure that everybody knew who the haves and the have-nots were, and it just got complicated and complicated and messy and messy, and people were running from the church. In fact, the church was just like a blight on the pages of history, and you fast forward to things like the 1400s. And the Spanish Inquisition, when we just rounded up all the Jews and threw them out of Spain, and we would kill people by the thousands if they didn't claim to be a heretic, and it was done in the name of Jesus, and it was done by the church, and people were running away from the message because it was complicated, and it was difficult, and it was anything but easy, and it was gross. And then like 100 years later, here comes a breath of fresh air as Martin Luther steps onto the scene. And Martin Luther comes up against the Catholic Church, and he was like, man, it's not for everybody. Like, people can't get there. There's too many regulations. There's too many rules. Like, you have to have too much money. It seems like it's for certain people. And people were running away from the church, and they were finding the church unattractive, and they were finding God unattractive. And Martin Luther said, that's not the gospel at all. And he preached this incredible message, just sola fide. Sola fide, by faith alone, faith only is all you need. And people flocked back to it. And people ran because it was easy and because it was simple and it was for them, and they understood that God was for them. But then we messed it up. And the church has been once again weaponized and used to do some of the worst things in history. We've used it to keep women down and minorities out and people in and people out, and we've used it to abuse people. And then we went and we formed all these denominations that have all these different little micro beliefs, and it's like, you got to talk this way, or you can't talk this way, or you got to say these things, well, you can't say these certain things, and this is how the end's going to happen, and if you don't get the way the end's going to happen like we do, then you're not part of our club. Well, this is how the beginning happened, and if you don't understand the beginning the way we do, then you're not part of our club. And it's like, nah, 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 and people are going back and forth and back and forth, and everybody's looking at the church, and they're going, you guys don't even believe the same thing. You can't even agree on anything. How in the world could I be a part of that? How in the world could I ever feel like I could be home there? And I guess it's just kind of in all of us. Like, I guess it's in me too. I hope it doesn't ever leak out, but maybe it's in there somewhere. There's just this desire in all of us to kind of create these formulas for what it looks like and what it means to have a connection with your Heavenly Father. And when I come up with a formula, I mean, I'm going to create a formula that works for me, right? Like, it's going to be my formula, and this is how I'm going to connect with God, and then I'm going to tell you about my formula, and I'm going to convince you that my formula is the right formula, and then you and I are going to form a club, and we're going to open the doors to everybody, and we're going to say everybody can come in, but once they walk in, it's going to feel so uninviting, so unwelcoming, so unaccepting that there's no way they could connect. And then we're going to do something really crazy. We're going to blame them for not connecting. We're going to say it's their fault because they're just not committed enough. They're just not spiritual enough. I mean, if they were more like us, then they would connect here. Like, we hear that all the time. Like, there's churches sitting empty right now, and people are sitting there going, well, they're just not committed enough. They're just not spiritual enough. If people were more committed these days, they'd be a part of the church. And I look at that, and I'm like, nah, it's not a commitment problem. It's a ladder problem. Like, people show up at the church and they can't get there. They're committed enough. They want to be a part. They want to connect. But they show up and they just can't get there from where they are. So years ago, we decided that we would do whatever it takes to put all the rungs back on the ladder. And we decided we would make sure the rungs were low enough that anybody could get there, that they were close enough that everybody could take a step, and that when anybody showed up, no matter who they were, no matter what their story was, no matter where they came from, they would walk in and they would realize that the church was for them and that their Heavenly Father was for them, and that we would make it as easy as possible for them to climb the ladder and for them to connect with their Heavenly Father. Because you know what? Ultimately, the church is for everybody because God is for everybody. Because ultimately, everybody needs and wants to be forgiven. Because ultimately, everybody at some point in their life wonders, does God care about me? Like, is God interested in me? Does he take a personal interest in me as a human being? Is God really out there? Ultimately, we believe every single person would love nothing more than to open the pages of the New Testament and would be able to read the stories of Jesus and know that God has something meaningful to say to them. So a long time ago, we decided. We just decided if it kills us, if we have to recreate and restart and start over and over and over again, if we have to work harder than anybody else, we decided a long time ago we were going to create a church that had all the rungs on the ladder, because the church isn't for church people. The church is for everybody because the gospel is for everybody. And so that's what we do here, because we want this place to be a home for everybody. So if you showed up last week and you thought it was remarkable, it was like your first time ever, and you thought that was really cool, I'm going to go back one more week, though, and I'm going to check it out, because I've done church before, and it's usually bait and switch, and they usually kind of, finally the other shoe will drop, and I'll get surprised, and I'll realize I'm not welcome here, I'll realize it's really not for me. If that's you, I just want to go ahead and put you at ease. Every single week, no matter the week, you are welcome here, and this is your home, because we want this to be a home for everybody. Because we didn't do this simply to build another big old church filled with church people. We did all of this to make sure that we could create environments for people, for real people, for all people. And no matter what it takes, no matter how hard we have to work, no matter how long, no matter how many times we get it wrong and we have to correct, we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure the bottom rung is on the ladder. We're going to make sure that no matter what your story is, how far from God is, how disconnected you feel, how hurt you've been by the church, how disgusted you are by the church, no matter how you feel when you think about the church, we're going to make sure that rung is low enough so that when you walk in this place, you feel like you can get started and you feel like you can climb towards a growing relationship with your Heavenly Father. That when you walk in this place, you realize there's not a question that's off limits. That there's not something you can say or something that you can ask that we won't wade into with you because we want this to feel like your home. And for those of you who have been here for a while, for those of you who would say, man, I'm connected here and I love it. I love this place. There's a couple things you got to know. There's a couple things we're never going to stop because if we stopped, it will mess everything up. We're never going to stop asking you to serve. Like, we're never going to stop asking you to be involved here because we need to create environments that are staffed with people who get it. For adults who are trying to get it and students and children who don't quite get it yet. So we need you to get up out of seats and for you to serve and for you to help us make these environments as incredible as they can be because the gospel is incredible and the local church should be as well. If this is your home and you've been connected here for a while, we're never going to stop raising money. Like, we're never going to stop talking about giving because when you open the doors and you create a place for everybody, you hope that everybody will show up. And if everybody shows up as they should show up because the gospel is such good news, if everybody shows up, this room's not big enough. The parking lot's not big enough. We're already shuttling all of our volunteers from offsite, and that's going to create all kinds of problems. So we're going to have to raise all kinds of money to solve it. And it's going to be remarkable because the church is for everybody and Decatur City should be for everybody. And if this is your home, we're never going to stop asking you to invite your friends and your family to be a part of this place. Because as long as you're inviting your friends and your family to this place, it keeps us focused on keeping that bottom rung as low as possible. It keeps us focused as a church of making this place a home and a safe place for everybody. Because the gospel, Jesus, your Heavenly Father, the church isn't for church people. It's for everybody. And I know it would be easy to walk into a room like this and we've got these luxury pews that you can kind of spread out on and lean back and to think, man, we finally have a place of our own. Like we're done. We can sit back and we can relax, but we're not done. Because if we ever stop, if we ever get satisfied, if we ever get comfortable, you know what's going to happen? It's going to happen because it happens to every church. We're going to take this rung off the ladder because you know what? You and I, we've been here. Like, you don't need this one anymore. I don't need this one anymore. So we can just get rid of that. And then this, like, I mean, we covered this in preschool and we haven't had a new preschooler in like 100 years. So we don't need that anymore. And then like this was covered in elementary school. And I mean, most of our kids are already graduated out of that. And eventually we covered this one in small groups. And there's nobody here who has that question. And now we're just all sitting at the top. And we've got this great club. And it feels really comfortable for you and for me, but nobody else feels welcome here. And guys, I don't know about you, but I can tell you for me, I don't want to spend a day of my life pastoring that church. And I don't think you want to spend a Sunday of yours attending one. So this church, Decatur City Church, the church, it's not for church people. The church is for everybody. Because every single person is important to our Heavenly Father and every single person should walk in any and every one of these doors and feel right at home. I have no idea how long we're going to be in this facility. But man, as I think about our future together, as I think about what could happen, I think about, man, the stories these walls will be able to tell one day. The stories of lives that have been forever changed. The stories of marriages that have been restored, of relationships that have been renewed, of jobs that have been saved, of addictions that have been broken, of habits that have finally been defeated. The stories of whole histories rewritten and families altered. The stories of people turning their life over to God and trusting in Jesus for the first time. Man, think about the stories that could be told through this place. If we would simply fling wide open our doors and say, come one and come all. This is your home. We created this place for you. You are welcome here. Let's pray together. Father, the desire of our heart, I think it's the desire of my heart is to create a church that's for all people. To create a church where anybody and everybody, no matter their story, no matter their past, no matter what they're bringing with them, no matter what they wish they could shake free of, to create a place where every single person would feel right at home, where every person would know that you are for them, and where every person would feel as they walk into the doors that we are for them as much as you are. God, would you fill this place? Would you fill this place 100 times over? Not so we can be a big old church on a corner. That's not worth living for. But so that we could be a church where everybody felt at home and where everybody could understand and know the love that you have for them. Would this place be a home for this community? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.